Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Houston, standing by. Over.
Jeremy and Joe starts now.
On ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
From the Mobile Huntington Bank Studios, located at Nick's Place, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
We're going to do our New Year's resolutions next week. I have one for color. Get his rejoins right.
We can get that changed.
There's a few ways I thought that was going to go.
What was the other options?
Wait, see next week.
What does that mean?
That I don't want to say it. I was waiting to see what you were going to say.
You didn't know what he was going to say?
No, I didn't know what he was going to talk about his rejoins.
That's all he ever talks about.
I haven't heard it.
I like to mix it up. All right, 713-780 ESPN. Junkie on the text line. Here's my only thought of putting Power Fives in. Football, I believe, is the only sport where there are levels. Basketball and baseball, pretty level as far as skill. I just think the skill of the bigger schools have a pretty large gap in talent. I don't disagree with that. I do think that the talent gap has shrunk, though. Mm-hmm. I think the NIL era and transfer portals actually led to more parity, which people were terrified of. They thought it would lead to greater disparity. But I think it's actually been leveled. I think look at Indiana. Indiana, I was mocked 2 years ago whenever I was calling Indiana a football school. Like, I would say it every single week. What do you believe now? I believe that Indiana is a football school. I believe Indiana is a football school. I got mocked and ridiculed.
They're
a football school.
They are.
Like, and I understand that Indiana's Big Ten. They need a lot of resources, a lot of money. But the level of talent has spread across to more teams because players want to play. You're not going to spend a lot of NIL on players who aren't playing. Those players want NIL, so they're going to go somewhere they can play. Like, it's in a weird way actually led to more parity.
I also think with the G5 thing, like if they go to 16 starting next year, I think people will be less upset about it when it's 1 versus 16.
Yeah.
And it's going to more resemble what we see in March Madness where, Indiana's going to dog walk, some of these teams, or if it's Ohio State, whoever's number one. But that's to be expected, right? It's the number one team in the country.
It's like a 1-16 in the NCAA basketball tournament.
Yeah, and
they get the benefit of playing the 16 because they were the one.
Yeah, I think once that comes into play, and then people will be more okay with it.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of times it'll be like this year where Tulane was ranked 20th. If they're 16 because of it, I think people are okay with that.
Yes.
Like, would you rather have that team, to me, deserves to be in more, just like in March Madness, than the 5th or 6th SEC team? Like, in March Madness, we had these debates of, does the 9th or 10th SEC team deserve to be in? Probably not, because they're 9th or 10th in their conference, but they're going to get into the tournament.
Yeah.
So I'd rather see the chance for a miracle, than that random,
Yeah, a little
Missouri.
Different in college basketball because the at-large is there. Like, you're not picking them over a conference representative. You're picking them over the at-large schools, which, that usually 11 or a 12 seed. And then they also have the play-in there, by the way. Oklahoma, they blew a 17-0 lead.
Yeah.
That drop ball in the 3rd and 4, in my opinion, changed the game, where Mateer got free, had the deep ball. As a running back, actually, right there, catch the ball. I think it's a different game. Was 17-7 there. Could have been a touchdown. Instead of the drop, then the punter drops it on the next play.
Which that was
dropped it on the next play.
I mean, he just choked.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, just dropped the ball in front of him?
Check his betting accounts.
That was worse than what Young Ho Ko did. Young Ho Ko, remember whenever he?
Oh yeah, when
he tripped in the turf.
Yeah.
He tried to pull back because the snap wasn't there or something.
Yeah, because
it looked like he botched it.
Yeah, the snap wasn't there, so he freaked out a little bit.
Kicked the ground.
Worst moment of Young Ho Ko's career.
And then he got cut for it.
I don't think he got cut for that.
We got caught like 2 weeks later.
Yeah, but I don't think it was for that.
I think it added to it probably
I don't think
a little
so.
Bit.
No, I think that like specialist looked at that play of him doing the right thing.
Yeah,
but the perception of it looked terrible.
But the punter, yikes!
Yeah, just that was weird. I've never seen a punter do that.
And then, as they said, you know, 3,000 times on the broadcast, the Oklahoma kicker hadn't missed a field goal since his first kick of the season, and then he pulled up short on a field goal he had made earlier in the game. Yeah, Alabama. I do think that game after, because I agree with you that drop touchdown is really game turned. Oklahoma, their offense just wasn't good. It's like it just felt like that deflated them and they couldn't recover. Mateer, I don't think he's that good.
I thought he looked great in the first quarter.
Yeah, but then man,
he looked unreal in the first quarter.
And then, but I think the rest of that game though is more accurate of who Alabama is. I'm a big Ty Simpson fan. Like I think he's a good quarterback, and now he seems healthier. I think the number is a little big, honestly.
What's the number at?
7.
Oh, wow.
For Indiana. I was surprised. I thought it'd be closer to a like 3-4, somewhere in that range.
Boy, if Bama wins there, the SEC is going to
be obnoxious.
Yes, they will be.
And they already are.
They already are.
Even though they also had, like, people want to give grief about James Madison and Tulane. They looked a lot better than A&M did.
Well.
At least James Madison scored a touchdown.
Because A&M.
Well, come on.
Stinks.
They look better offensively.
Yes. Defensively, A&M, A-plus game.
Not scoring a touchdown in a playoff home game is very disappointing.
Yes. Yes.
What's more disappointing, blowing a 17-point lead at home or not scoring a touchdown at
home? I think
the
latter.
Yeah.
The latter. Because, I mean, Alabama started to get back into it pretty quickly. Like, it didn't take long for them to be back in it either.
Like midway through the second?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I was driving to LaBerge. It was by the time I got to LaBerge, it was 17-0 and 17-17 by the time I got there. Where A&M just had no shot because Marcel Reed was just bad.
Yeah, you think Aggie fans are out on him?
Yes.
Like, I know he's coming back, but should they, like, be looking?
I think you look at some of these quarterbacks in the portal, and I would be curious. I would look at, we talked about it this weekend, I think maybe you try to do what Ole Miss did. You try to find like your Trinidad Chambliss, someone
that
is a lower level prospect that you bring in, and then it turns into a quarterback competition. And then when he just outright beats out Marcel Reed for the job, everyone's like, "Okay, this makes sense."
That's a great idea.
Like instead of as the kid from Cincinnati.
Oh, he's too good to be.
He's
a backup.
He's too good. Oh, yeah.
He's probably going to be Tech's quarterback.
But like, yeah, I would bring in someone that can compete with Marcel. That you know, going into spring ball, Marcel's the starter. But this kid, whoever he could be the guy who takes over. Because I would be out on Marcel Reed, frankly. I wouldn't trust him. He can't throw. And for a guy who's supposed to be super athletic, he's really not.
Well, he doesn't make guys miss in the open field.
Well, I think he was neutralized because Miami's probably good defensively.
Yeah. Like, he can go north and south. But even in other games, like, he doesn't have, like, that east-west
shiftiness
that you're looking from a quarterback that can't really throw the ball that well either.
Yeah, I would I'd be intrigued with your Chambliss idea. Like, he was a really good Division II quarterback that people are sleeping on and we have our eye on. That would be a good idea. Do you think that it should have been a targeting on the play where the Miami player nearly got paralyzed? Actually, I think it should have been.
Really?
Absolutely.
I thought the contact came through the shoulder. Kind of like the Jalen Petrie hit on Rashee Rice where he led shoulder, hit shoulder, and then
what did he hit with the shoulder?
Huh?
What did he hit with his shoulder?
I thought it was shoulder to chest.
Oh,
and then he like transferred up to the helmet. Like the initial contact was not helmet to helmet. He didn't lead with his helmet.
I'm not 100% sure it has to be initial contact. Secondly, I disagree. I thought it was a clear shot to the head. And I don't think that he led with his helmet. I don't think it was like leading with the crown of your helmet. But the receiver for A&M was clearly defenseless. Because he was trying to reach for the ball. He was like kind of in the air. He was a defenseless receiver. He got hit in the neck head area. That's targeting.
By the definition of the rule, it is.
Yeah, I thought it should have targeted.
It's one of those where I don't love how they call targeting
in college football. And honestly, they're very inconsistent
that's,
in how they
and
call
that,
it.
And that's part of like I guess that's the ultimate reason why is I feel like they don't ever really follow the letter of the law that they write. It feels like they pick and choose when it is. I also don't like the punishments for it sometimes, especially when it's not a like a egregious targeting and the player misses the next half of the game.
I hate that there's an ejection for it and potential suspension depending on when it happens in the game.
Yeah.
I would get rid of that part of it.
So it's one of those where it's ultimately like Miami wins the game still.
I disagree. If that gets called, Miami does not win the game.
Maybe first and goal at the one, right?
Yeah.
Oh, I guess it, yeah, I guess you're right. It would have been. I forgot what, when, where that happened on the field, but
I guess it would have been half the distance, but semantics. Like, yeah. I think the Aggies
right.
win the game.
No, you're right. I think because they can run the ball then.
Yeah.
Instead of have Marcel throw it.
Yeah.
Which that last interception.
I mean, it's not a guarantee that they get in the end zone.
No, there. But
the previous 59 minutes might tell you otherwise. But
yeah.
I think that they score a touchdown if that is called. I do think that the Aggies got a bad whistle on that play. Now, is it bang bang? Is it at 60-40 versus, you know, 90-10?
Well,
like, I do think it's closer to bang bang than like this, you know, obvious miscall. But I do think it was a bad whistle.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it was just. Was it a good weekend for college football?
There was one good game.
Yeah,
I mean, the Alabama Oklahoma game. I thought was good.
That's what I'm talking about.
Well, yeah. Miami A&M was competitive.
Yeah, it was a good football, though.
I hate this. I don't like this argument either. Like, I don't need a lot of points for it to be good football. I like from time to time two defenses.
But see, I don't think it was two defenses dominating. I think it was two bad quarterbacks being the coaches taking the ball out of their hands because they were terrible quarterbacks.
Yeah, I don't think this would be like a if we had like a Broncos Texans rematch in the playoffs where it's you know two great defenses. And A&M and Miami have good defenses.
I think, exactly.
But I think the quarterback play was really bad.
But that's college football. Like, there's
not
a ton
you're right.
of great college
you're right. you're
quarterback
right.
play.
Yeah, I'm kind of looking at it from like an NFL lens in a way of what that game was. But
I like that game. I thought it was a fun game.
I also would push back a little bit that A&M wins that game because it would just – I mean, unless we're assuming they go for two and get it, that would have tied the game.
Which, at the way that game's going,
I think they would have gone for it, but I'm not assuming they're going to get it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fair. I wonder what they would. I wonder what Elko would have done.
I think they would have gone for it.
The way the game had gone, I think. Why risk going?
Because your offense has been dreadful.
I know, but
like your defense is your strong suit. So put them back on the field.
Isn't that the reason to go for it, though? Because you don't have to put together more scoring drives in overtime.
Well, no. Because, I mean, it's your offense needs to play against their defense versus overtime. It's your defense has an equal opportunity as your offense.
That's my other thought on that game was that because if it does go to overtime. Can we please change the overtime rules?
I do hate the overtime
because
rules.
Because it's one thing for the regular season to end with a two-point conversion off.
I hadn't thought about that.
Like, can you imagine a college football – what if the national championship was decided
by
back-to-back two-point conversions?
Like, I would hate that.
They have to get rid of it. Like, even the potential of it
– I don't like college football overtime, period. I don't like starting at the 25. I think it's a gimmick.
I like the old rule. Like, where – I mean, I know – and they got rid of it because, what, A&M and – or UT and Tennessee, whoever it was.
I don't even
it
like
was A&M, LSU, seven overtimes.
Yes, yeah, like –
I want the NFL overtime rule.
I was more fine with that. I'm with you. I'd rather the NFL rule.
Or at least move back the starting point to outside of field goal range.
Yeah.
Like 50-yard line. At least make them pick up a first down or two.
Yeah.
I'm good with that.
But
that could
like,
be a happy compromise.
Just the national title game just being decided. You know, Ohio State, Indiana rematch. Two-point conversions, one back and forth.
It's like football Russian roulette.
Oh, man. That would be the worst experience for all of us ever.
It'd be it's going to happen eventually. They're going to have to rethink. Because college football is not proactive.
No,
they're not proactive thinkers.
They won't change
look at the
until that happens.
Yeah, they're not proactive thinkers. Look at the ACC and their tiebreaker.
The ACC, like, the G5 stuff we're talking about
today. Look at them changing the playoff format every year.
Yeah, like it's all reactive. Instead of letting something play out and, you know, how the playoffs are going, they're going to change it again in a month from tomorrow,
exactly.
Probably. And then this one, it's until it, like, happens – on a national scale, and everyone's is crushing them. Because that's where I feel like the G5 stuff, too. It's Brian said this over the weekend, that this is where the media actually, I think, makes an impact in a sport. Versus the NFL, Major League Baseball. I actually think, like, when Paul Feinbaum speaks, I think there are a lot of athletic directors and things like that that listen.
Oh, I talked to Hunter the other day at the on Saturday.
Yeah?
Hunter Yurchek. I went 6'7". Remember, he did that on national TV.
Yeah, I know.
He didn't like it all.
Yeah,
he can't. I know. I hate it. I hate it. It's the worst. Hey, it's the worst rush.
Yeah. I dropped Sean and I. Were
oh,
trying.
Joe and Sean, we're dropping so many
we're,
of those.
We're trolling. Like,
they're
Ryan
just trying to get up, get under my skin.
Yeah.
Why are y'all 6, 7 years old? Why are y'all acting like children?
It was funny because Brian was getting so upset.
I'm on Brian's side of this. All right, 713-780-3776. Are we going to just let the Rockets off the hook when they lose the second leg of a back-to-back all season? Are we going to allow that to happen? And also, Joe's going to write a thesis on what he saw from Houston, Arkansas on Saturday. 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe broadcasting live from Nick's Place on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2. Football season. So we're in the thick of football season. Donna loves football. She's a huge football fan. We're all football fans. And Underdog is the best place to get in on all the action all season long. You're in Texas. Texas is the best place to make picks and win money on Underdog. Playing on Underdog is so easy. All you have to do is pick whether your favorite players will go higher or lower on a bunch of different stats. Rushing yards, receptions, touchdowns, much, much more. Team picks, too. Get your picks right. You can win up to 5,000 times your cash, and you can play with as little as $1. So what are you waiting for? It's just $5. You're going to get some bonus entries, too. In fact, Underdog's got a little bonus entry going on right now. Looking at this Monday night football matchup, San Francisco, Indy, Christian McCaffrey. What do you like from Christian McCaffrey today? He's at 0.5 for rush and receiving touchdowns. Feels pretty safe there. George Kittle, Brian's dude, 67.5 receiving yards, higher or lower there. Jonathan Taylor has been phenomenal, 98.5 rushing yards, higher or lower there. And then old man Rivers, he's playing football tonight. His passing yards, 159.5. You like the higher or lower there? Something might have caught your interest there. And if it did, download the Underdog app right now. Use promo code KILLERB to score $75 in bonus entries when you play your first $5. That's promo code KILLERB, K-I-L-L-E-R-B. Underdog, make picks, win money.
This is Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Huntington Bank Studios, located at Nick's Place. Here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
He's Joe. I'm Jeremy at Nick's Place, ESPN 97.5 Christmas Party. Before we talk about Rockets and Joe with his top three things he saw from the Cougar win over the Razorbacks on Saturday, let's go out to the HRNP listener line. Charles, you're in with Jeremy and Joe. What's up, Charles?
Hey, how you doing? I listen to the show daily. I just want to call and let y'all know that college football is broken. The way to fix it, conference realignment. You do six conferences, two divisions. Each division, that each conference winner automatically gets the shot to the playoffs, and then everything else just falls in the way it bays. But the only way to fix college football is a real conference realignment. And thank y'all.
Yeah, have a great day. Merry Christmas, Charles.
Merry Christmas. I would love it. Give me real conferences back. Go back to the Pac-12, the real Pac-12, not this new fake Pac-12 that's coming to existence.
Oh, the Mountain West abomination that they're going
to
do?
I mean, the conference. What's happened to these conferences is it's how – now, I think A&M deserved to be in the playoff, obviously, but like it's how A&M skated by, frankly, this year with playing the bottom of the barrel of the SEC, how Indiana last year, same thing. Like, these conferences have gotten too big, and it's just – it's all a mess. I hate all these games we're losing. You know, the Apple Cup – is gone.
You care about the Apple Cup?
It's tradition.
You care about the Apple Cup?
I would watch it.
You could still watch it.
Well, same way we watch the Iron Bowl.
Yeah.
The Apple Cup.
They're traditional games.
Joe's putting on he's getting on his high horse for the Apple Cup.
But Joe's also going to miss the Civil War between Oregon and Oregon
but
State.
Like, all that stuff's I think that one's staying.
Oh, is it? I know they played this year.
I think they found a way to keep that one.
Joe shed a tear when the Apple Cup died.
But, like, we didn't have, you know.
That was a bridge too far.
Yeah, well, we didn't have Texas and Texas A&M
That's
for
what
how
broke
long?
College
11
football.
Years.
Like,
11
it's,
years.
It's too much. It's dumb that today Notre Dame USC got canceled. Yeah. Like, it's the conference realignment, and it all trickles down to that stuff. I know you want someone just to come in and buy college football.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty similar to what my – and, look, that's never going to happen. Like, I understand that. I would go to 80 teams. Eight conferences of 10, geographic, however you want to set up the playoff, whatever. I'm probably in favor of an automatic qualifier of some sort, but you can talk me into a bunch of different things when it comes to that. No, I don't think it's broken, though. That's what I would disagree with. Is it ideal? Is it the best that we want it? Is it optimal? No, it's none of those things. But they're still making tons of money. Everybody's going to the games. Everybody's watching the games. Mm-hmm. They're making billions of dollars. It's not broken. It's just flawed.
The only thing that's, like, at this point that's probably broken and going to die is bowl games.
Which I'm okay with.
And I think that's the only one that of college football that, like, really is a problem. That's going to go away.
Yeah.
At least in the way that we know it right now. Like maybe we will see it become a week zero game.
Love
you know,
that idea.
The following year.
Will never happen, but love that idea.
You really think it would never happen?
No. It's hard logistically because you have, like, well, one – teams make the bowls. The other half of college football doesn't. What are those teams doing? Are they just playing one fewer game? Are they now going to schedule games against each other?
Yeah.
They have 6 months to try to figure that out. I think it's tough.
It does make it more challenging, obviously. But because then it's like it forces the playing other people thing, you know? And there's also complications where, like, that would mean next year, Texas and Michigan, do they play next year in the regular season?
Oh, yeah, you could
could play twice.
No, they play Ohio State next year.
That's right.
But you could have that wrinkle, a bowl matchup.
Michigan comes back a couple years later.
But you could have a bowl matchup where you play again. Like if BYU and Notre Dame would have played, now they're on each other's schedules next year.
It almost happened with Houston-LSU. Houston-LSU are playing in the bowl game this year. They kick off the season, not next year, but the year after. So, I mean, if this was the Texas Bowl matchup next year, then now you're playing a back-to-back.
So you'd have to move bowl games to make it work that way. But I think college football is just – it's in a weird place. They've changed so much, changed so fast, and they're trying to catch up on how to get everything back on a track where everyone feels good about it. You've got these conferences that don't feel – that all want different things. They have different goals. It's because you don't have a governing body.
Yeah.
Like the Big 12 wants some things. The ACC wants some things. You know, the SEC doesn't want California teams. The ACC clearly doesn't care. You can have California and West Virginia and all these different schools. Like, it doesn't matter. So, like, but each conference is just very different, and that's why it's flawed. But it's not broken because it's still going to be massive ratings and all that stuff.
Yeah, people are still going to watch.
Yeah.
People are going to watch. It hasn't ruined the sport. It might be, you know, not what you want it to be. You have better ideas. It could be better. But all the people that are complaining about it, am I watching the college football playoffs?
Yeah, everyone's
watching. It's not broken. It's not broken until people start going away. They start leaving.
And I think – and we'll see a ratings dip this year, I would imagine, for the first round, right? Because last year you didn't have these G5 teams in the first round. Boise State had a bye. So like, you'll see a ratings dip for sure. But it's not going to be a dip that you're like, oh, that's a problem. You're just going to say, okay, circumstance caused – ratings dip, and you missed out on some big brands.
Yeah. That's got a ways to go. Ways to go. All right, Houston beat Arkansas and Newark in the Rock.
Lockdown defense.
All right, that's one.
Fleming's good.
Okay, that's two.
Coach Cal Coward.
Why?
Didn't talk to the media after the game.
So apparently he talked to some of the Arkansas media in the locker room.
Okay.
So he talked to select media.
Is that worse?
And then a bunch of people are fighting about, like, the news. Yeah. Chris Baldwin said that he didn't talk to the media because he didn't talk to the media in front of the press conference, like the setup.
Yeah.
He declined that, spoke in the locker room. So people are, like, going at him on Twitter and like, you're a bad journalist. Like, he kind of was right. I mean,
he's right.
Yeah.
It's just like, but it was on the screen. I had my eyes on it a little bit.
Okay. So Coach Cal's a coward.
I would, like, look at it in the corner while watching the Bears lose.
You should have had it with sound up. I'm sure you're listening on the Varsity Network app. Yours truly. That was a good win.
Yeah, I had my AirPods in.
Q1 victory.
At the sportsbook.
Such a liar.
Top 15 matchup. 94 points for Houston, too. I know a lot of people are like, well, the Cougars' offense looking really – they did. They looked really good in that game. I know Ocho is probably pleased because Ocho always gets a little upset about the Cougar offense.
He does.
Like, what is he going to say about this? Like, 94 points, hit 11 threes. Like, Ocho's always about shooting. He's always about the Cougar offense. 94 points, 11 threes, Ocho. What do you got?
Sharp went 3 for 9. Not good enough.
He had a pretty. He was good second half.
Yeah.
Sharp had 22. 16 came in the second half. He was really good in the second half. First half, a little shaky. Second half was very, very good. Ramon Walker, missed a story there. Came off the bench. He's, you know, the culture guy.
Yeah.
Had a season high 12. Took a critical charge late in the game. Yeah. All right. Rockets yesterday. Fall to the Kings. Overtime. Yeah. 125-124. Are we just going to let them off the hook? Are we going to let the Rockets off the hook in back-to-backs?
No. No.
Everybody lets them off the hook. You criticize them after they lose the second leg of a back-to-back. Oh, it's a back-to-back. No big deal. Well, Sacramento's also in a back-to-back.
Here's the thing. They're 0-3.
They're 0-3,
and you got a bunch more coming.
At least two of the three they've played on a back-to-back were also playing a back-to-back. It might be all three. I know two for a fact. It might be all three.
And it's the Kings and the Jazz.
Yes.
So it's like you're playing down your competition.
And the Mavs.
And yes, the Mavs, who are bad. Like,
I think it was all three played the previous game too. I think all three opponents you played, and I think the Mavs did as well. I think all three, and I know that the Kings did.
No.
All three opponents you played were also in the second leg of a back to back. So it kind of lessens the excuse, in my opinion.
Yeah, I don't think there's any letting them off the hook for what's been happening recently. Whether it's the back to backs, the poor play that we've seen in closing situations. Because I think that to me is the bigger picture of like last night's game is that they're not good closing. It's just the reality right now. They are a step behind of where they should be at this point in the season, in my opinion. Like they have too much talent for being that bad at the end of quarters, at the end of games, and overtime.
Yeah.
Last night's losses, it's not good.
Yeah.
It's not good.
Alpe looked really good the first half. Was, like, dunking on the Kings left and right. He looked as good as I've seen him look this year. And then they changed their game plan. Like, hey, let's not give him a dunk every time up the floor. Sound defense. The Tari Eason, like Tari Eason returned yesterday. That's great. Bad news is he left the dude wide open in the left corner. They gave them the lead, Schroeder. Sarge posted today that people who think that Tari Eason left him, if they think there was a bad basketball play, they don't know ball.
Oh, even though Ime told his players not to leave their guys?
Ime said in the press conference that Tari should have left. Calvin Murphy's a basketball Hall of Famer. Said
that's
that
crazy.
Sarge said that.
That's where, like, I like Sarge. Like, you don't have to defend everyone because
he deleted the tweet.
Yeah, because he probably then heard the press conference in which Ime.
Well, I commented to him.
Oh, okay.
I said Hall of Famer Calvin Murphy, head coach Ime Udoka, color analyst Ryan Hollins, and not ball-knowing Branham all disagree, respectfully.
Yeah.
And then he deleted it. But he said, here's the tweet from Sarge. Some of y'all don't know basketball, and it shows. Tari Eason didn't do anything wrong on the Kings' last possession in overtime.
Yeah, he did a lot wrong. A lot wrong. And they knew, like Ime said.
Some of y'all, you don't know basketball if you think that.
They knew the ball was going to
the bar.
Yeah, it shows.
It shows you don't know ball if you think that, you know, him leaving wasn't something wrong.
Sarge seems to think that it's his job to defend the honor of every player and coach in Houston.
No.
Like against the world.
Like, it's, I mean, I like to defend the honor, too, whenever I think that the reaction to one is too critical.
You're giving thought as to, is it unfair? He's never giving that thought. It's just, my job as a in his world as a journalist, which is another whole other thing, to defend the honor.
Sometimes I like to defend the honor of people who I think are getting too criticized. Like, I think at times Nick Haley has been too criticized, especially after yesterday's game. I think D'Amico at times has been too criticized. Mm-hmm. So, like, in those moments, I'll defend the honor. So, like, I think that that's some similarities there, I think.
Yeah, I just think the –
I think he's wrong here.
Yeah, he's wrong.
I just think he's wrong here.
Yeah, it's just, you know, in these last couple games here, you know, got scored, you know, 31-20, declined phone call. I'm on the air.
Who's calling you?
Salespeople. Being outscored 30-21.
They got something for you, Joe.
I've been outscored 36-21 in two
now,
games
Granato's
ago.
Granato's going to get that account.
Hey, I know. You're not hustling, man.
I've got his hoodie. I've got his sweater.
All right, now Lance is going to get it.
Yeah. I think I'm going to keep it.
That's kind of a cool sweater.
Yeah.
You're not going to mail it to L.A.?
No. He can get it when he comes back in like 2 months.
Don't put it in the old locker.
Although the lockers will get thrown out like your sweater did.
Yeah.
But they're just – I don't know. It's – I'm not panicking. I don't think there's any reason to panic just yet about the Rockets.
Hmm.
But I do feel uninspired with their closing performance, and my gosh, they turned the ball over so much.
Yeah, I got I made some Reed Shepard fans mad yesterday because he had a bad turnover. And I was like, you know what actually annoyed me here? Is that Reed Shepard, they've been posting like these highlights of his passes these last couple of games, and I think they're stupid passes. But like they're lucky and they land.
Yeah.
Like there was one I think he threw to Durant where like he leaped in the air from the left wing and fired it to the right block between two defenders in a tight window. I was like, that's a terrible pass, but it got home and then Durant dunked it. People are like, oh, look at the great vision from Reed Shepard. The ball gets tipped away 9 times out of 10.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been looking for a bad pass for him to like say that. And I said it yesterday. People are like, it's just a turnover ratio. I'm like, I don't care about that. I'm saying he's making dangerous passes.
He is. He's making big-time dangerous passes. He does the thing where he throws it like over his head as fast as possible.
Yes.
He's like chucking it in there.
And, like, and then it lands, and people are like, oh, my goodness, look at the great vision and great decision-making of Reed. But then the 9 times out of 10 where it doesn't land, no one says a peep. So well, I think I'm sticking up for the antithesis.
Yeah, you are. You are.
The anti-Sarge.
Yeah, you're pointing out.
Hashtag interesting.
Yeah, but it drives me crazy. You know how I feel about highlights.
Yeah.
I'm not a big highlight guy.
Because
we overrate the sensation.
Yeah. It doesn't tell the whole story at times of what he's doing. And I think he's been much better recently. Like I thought he was kind of a down stretch. I think he's back on the way up a little bit here. But I know these performances this last week and a half have just been a lot of bad basketball, and they've got – I don't know, some soul searching. It
blowing
feels like
big
to
leagues
do.
To bad teams.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like that's uncharacteristic of the Rockets we saw last year.
Mm-hmm.
That's not something they did a lot.
And what they said is they needed a closer. Remember that was the topic last year. They need a closer.
Yeah.
Well, you got one, and you're blowing big leads to bad teams.
Well, and it took them, you know, three closing situations to finally get the ball to Kevin Durant.
See, I think Durant's allowing it now. I think it's all part of the plan. I think Kevin Durant knows that when it's time, like in meaningful games, yesterday not meaningful, it's game, what, 20 of the year, that when it's time, Durant's going to take over. I think that day is coming. But he's just allowing this now because it's going to bring up the rest of the team in this short. Like, you're losing a battle to win the war, I think is their look at it.
I hope so.
I hope that happens because it does need to happen. It doesn't need to happen today, but it needs to happen when it's critical,
yeah,
when it's crunch time.
Because, see, my
of the season, not the game.
Yeah, I guess maybe it's Ime, too, then, because I just feel like he's not – I haven't loved the play design that we've seen. You know, one, 2 weeks ago, what was it against the one that Albie took the bad shot, where it's just like Kevin Durant's covered up. There's really nothing there. You know, you've got these windows of opportunity to get the ball to Kevin Durant, and they're just kind of missing him. So I just haven't liked the play design, even yesterday. Like, it's just like they're not getting good shots, good quality shots in those moments you need them.
Yeah. Texture asking, can we get some love for Texas Tech beating Duke in the Garden? Absolutely. Great call. I'm sorry I didn't mention that.
It's a good comeback.
That was a huge win for Texas Tech. Good job. That was huge for the league, too. Tip of the cap, Texas Tech beating Duke at the Garden. That was a big-time win. All right, 713-780-3776. Game balls when we come back. Game balls of week 16 of the NFL season. 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5, 97.9 HD2. Are you looking to escape the rat race for the weekend, the hustle and bustle, the job, traffic, whatever's causing you stress? You probably need a vacation after the holidays, right? It's a very stressful time of the year. Well, get out to Two Creeks Crossing Resort on Lake Livingston for that rest and relaxation. Open green spaces, wildlife as well, some of the best fishing in Texas. The Two Creeks alongside their property, the big catch and release pond in the middle of the property, which is great for the kids. Escape the city. Enjoy the relaxing, great outdoors. It's just 90 minutes from Houston, too. You're there in an hour and a half, whether you're hiking there 92 acres of property. Maybe you're doing a little kayaking. Maybe you're playing pickleball. Or you're just at Swampers enjoying a cold one. They got glamping for you. Cabins, treehouses, pull up the RV. They have the perfect stay for everybody, and they're always taking care of their visitors. Just take this weekend, for instance. Winter Wonderland going on. Bonfire and s'mores. Things for the kids. New Year's Eve jam. Live music all day. New Year's Eve, you always got to get out there to Two Creeks Crossing Resort. And they're running a great special for you right now through February. You can get 40% off all cabin rentals, 20% off their nightly RV stays with their 40-20 discount. So what are you waiting for? Perfect for relaxing by the fire, exploring the beautiful outdoors. Book your stay now, twocreekscrossingresort.com. That's twocreekscrossingresort.com.
Try to be best, because you're only a man, and a man's got to learn to take it. Try to believe, though the going gets rough, that you gotta hang tough to make it.
This is Jeremy and Joe.
On ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Huntington Bank Studios, located at Nick's Place. Here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
713-780-ESPN. Who are you handing out game balls to? Week 16 of the NFL season. Who is your first game ball going to, Joe?
Let's give it to the young kid. Undrafted, rookie, Jahdae Walker. Nice touchdown catch.
Homer.
Yeah.
I mean, DJ Moore needs it.
Home of the Aggies.
DJ Moore should have got
home
that
of the
one.
Aggies, Jahdae Walker.
Why do you hate DJ Moore?
I don't hate DJ Moore. It's a great catch.
The game winning catch. He should get the game ball.
Rookie steps up, two wide receivers down, undrafted kid, makes a big catch.
I'm going to go weak ACLs for my first game ball. It gave the Titans the victory. First, Pat Mahomes tearing his ACL last week, and then Gardner Minshew tearing his ACL this week. Weak ACLs.
Gardner wasn't good. That could
I think they would have won the game even if Gardner had stayed in.
I think he would have.
You think Gardner would have won it?
Gardner wins that game.
I don't know.
Minshew, I was on the Titans either way.
You're sleeping on Minshew mania, baby. A little Minshew magic late in the game. He shines when the game is on the line.
Guy's played on six teams in 6 years. Yeah. I'll give my first game ball to, I think, maybe one of the more impactful wins, at least on the playoff picture. That being Tet McMillan, 6 for 73, and the game-winning touchdown to give the Panthers the, feels like, complete path to winning the NFC South. It's still not technically over, I don't think, but it's over.
Yeah, both teams got to win this weekend, and then it comes out of the last game of the season, a bunch of other tiebreakers. This one's tough for me. I like two people for this one game ball.
Uh-oh.
But I'm kind of falling in love with Tyler Shuck here, so I'm going to give
Tyler
because Olave deserves
Olave was great.
He deserves it too.
Two touchdowns.
But like Tyler Shuck, I'm really enjoying like what we're seeing out of him.
I don't think the Saints draft a quarterback now.
No, I don't think so either. Kellen Moore doing a great job as well.
Yeah, so, he might Tyler be a Shuck. Ball coach. Joey Burrow, my friend, 309 yards, four touchdowns, which none of them were to Ja'Marr Chase. I thank you for that, Joey Burrow. You get my game ball.
That is an amazing path that you walked there to avoid that. I'll give my game ball to Justin Herbert, who, sorry, AJ, got the win over your Cowboys. 300 yards passing, two touchdowns, plus 42 on the ground, and another touchdown running in. So Justin Herbert on fire going into the Texans
flag. I'm throwing the BS flag.
Why?
On the play. Are you sorry that they beat AJ's Cowboys?
Oh, no, not at all. Not at all.
Challenge. Won the challenge.
Why can't you just move on after that, Jeremy?
Won the challenge.
It's Christmas season. He's won the challenge. Nice.
I wasn't trying to rub it in his face.
I was right.
I know
you were.
Yeah.
You're the one rubbing it in his face now by pointing it out.
BS flag.
You're the bad person.
I sniffed out the BS.
Bad person.
Not a lot of great options from this next game, but let's pay an old friend a visit. Game ball, Blake Cashman.
Oh,
no way.
What, you have it?
Yeah.
Yes. 16 total tackles in this game.
Tackling machine.
Jackson Dart stinks.
Oh, he's so bad. But he's not a passer.
Blake Cashman, great game.
I'm just going to continue with the theme of all the players on my team that got me to the JPFL Championship. James Cook.
No one cares about your fantasy team, Jeremy.
You're right. 117 yards, two touchdowns. Game. James Cook, game ball.
Yeah, now I'm going to have to scroll down because you took that one from me. Let's go to the Titans game, and let's see who the first player I bring up when I pull up their box score. We're doing this live on air. Cam Ward, 228 and two touchdowns, and the Titans win.
Game ball
to you.
I gave those to bad ACLs.
Yeah, you did.
But incorrectly.
I thought you were going to – what about your rookie that you love? The wide receiver? What's his name?
Oh, Dyke?
Yeah.
He's a good guy. The Astros play at
DK.
Yeah.
It is pronounced DK.
Yeah, it's pronounced DK.
Trevor Lawrence, four total touchdowns.
Yeah, he's great.
Went over 300 total yards.
Fantastic for Trevor Lawrence.
Jalen Warren, 14 carries, 143 yards, two touchdowns.
Justin Jefferson.
You want me to wrap this up?
I would have gone Kenneth Gainwell.
Fair.
Just because that play is so spectacular.
Yeah, fair.
Like getting that – like. Warren's probably, yes, but that
Yeah, kind of, Warren had a 45-yard touchdown.
What a play. I can't believe they called that wrong on the field. I thought it looked obvious from the moment it happened.
Yeah, same.
I'll give a little pat on the head to Justin Jefferson. There wasn't a lot of offense in Vikings over the Giants, but six for 85.
That's the second time he's done that.
I don't care.
I know you
play by your rules.
Okay.
Who are you going to give it to? I don't even remember.
What game was that?
The Vikings and Giants?
Cashman.
Cashman.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah,
I'll
whatever.
Vote it, too. Not Man. You, us. Saquon Barkley, 21 carries, 132 yards and a score. Bijan Robinson, 133 total yards and a touchdown. And the last one, saving the best for last.
Drake May?
Oh, I forgot to do that game because I did my prep before that. Yeah, that's a good call.
Yeah, I think
or Diggs was massive,
I know,
too.
That's, yeah.
Cardi Diggs, game ball. And then saving the best for last. The only 1,000-point score in Houston Texans football history. Kaimi Fairbairn.
Also could give it to Dalton Schultz for setting a team record.
Someone was in my comments yesterday, like, bashing Schultz. Like,
really?
Schultz sucks.
Set a team record.
He's like, they need McBride and Bowers. I'm like, cool. Yeah, it'd be awesome if the Texans had a top two position player at every position.
It'd be awesome if Dalton Schultz was Trey McBride.
Yeah, it'd be great.
I get bashing Schultz last year. Why this year?
He set a record. Most receptions for a tight end in franchise history
Will
in a single
Anderson.
Season.
And
I was
Anderson.
Surprised by that.
Fourth most sacks in franchise history.
That's crazy.
Congrats. That's so sad.
Yeah.
But congrats.
You were surprised about Schultz?
I was surprised that Owen Daniels didn't. What was it, 71? Was that when Schultz got to the record, 71 catches? Yeah. Like, I was surprised OD didn't have like an 80-catch season.
Same. I feel like the offense was a little friendlier then, too.
Yeah, for sure.
Right? Like, they were putting up better tight end numbers.
And other than Andre, he didn't have a lot of competition for targets.
I guess Foster for a brief period of time.
Yeah, maybe Owen or
touches,
Kevin Walter.
Not targets,
yeah, Kevin Walter,
Kevin
I guess.
Kevin Walter.
I also didn't think Schultz had that many catches this year. I know he's so been asked.
He's kind of racked them up recently.
Yeah, I just didn't feel like he had that many.
But he's had an underrated year for sure.
He's been good.
All right, who's your last junkie of the day before we head to Christmas? 713-780-3776. Junkie of the day, last one before Christmas. It is Jeremy and Joe broadcasting live from Nick's Place on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2. You can go be a junkie with all your friends. If you're a junkie for maybe the hometown basketball team, you can watch the home team basketball team and their games anywhere, but there's only one place where the rally really starts. That's at Tom's Watch Bar Red Nation. Nation rallies at Green Street. This is your new Friday and Saturday home game day destination. Watch the games with other fans like you who love their hometown team. If you're going to the game, Tom's Watch Bar comes alive. Live DJs, team swag, giveaways, themed cocktails, surprise guest appearances all season long, too. And then here's the part that's really cool, I think. If you're headed over to the game, come early and park free at Green Street with Tom's Watch Bar validation. Then after the game, come back and celebrate at Tom's Watch Bar with post-game drinks, highlights on their 65 screens. High energy, all H-Town fans. It's Red Nation Rallies at Tom's Watch Bar, presented by Green Street. Find the full schedule at tomswatchbar.com/rednationrallies. That's tomswatchbar.com/rednationrallies.
This crazy world is home to all kinds of junkies.
I got a junkie for a wife. Don't eat nothing.
Some worthless junkie.
We're adrenaline junkie.
Because I'm a news junkie.
Okay, I'm a Twitter junkie.
An elephant that's a junkie.
But only one can be the junkie of the day.
You acting like I'm some kind of ski junkie.
What loser will be the winner? Find out with Jeremy and Joe.
Shut the f*** up, junkie.
First junkie of the day nominee. Thanks to Nick's Place, by the way, for having us out. Thanks to everybody who came out today for the Christmas party. Awesome. Awesome. Thank you all. Junkie of the day, Alex wants to nominate you, Joe.
Why?
For not taking shots with Twitch.
When?
I don't know. You just said that.
Today?
How would I know what he means?
Were they here?
Yeah, no. Alex was here.
I've been here since... I missed Alex. Until he left. I got here at 7 a.m.
I don't know how that's relevant to you not taking shots.
Well, they didn't ask me.
That sounds like more opportunity to take shots.
I didn't reject a shot.
Alex thinks differently.
I could have.
You can't take a shot you're not offered.
Yeah. Now, Lance did buy shots for everyone. I did not partake in that. But
okay. Who's your junkie of the day?
Oh, man. I saw it first this weekend at the casino.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
I sat next to this guy. I was on a heater. Yeah. Blackjack.
Oh,
some
this
money,
guy. Yeah.
And some drunk guy sits next to me.
Oh, third base?
And he did something I've never, ever, ever seen. I don't think I'll ever see it again. He stayed on a 5. He had a 2 and a 3. He stayed.
What was the dealer showing?
A 10.
Is there ever a good reason to stay on 5?
He said,
no, but I wonder if it was a bus card. He just kind of went into autopilot.
Nope. He said the dealer's got a 4 under there, and it's going to throw a 10, and it's going to bust. And I was like, no, it's not. It's not going to do that. And all of us lost. Because of him.
Oh, he was wrong.
Yeah. I had a 13, would have hit a 21.
So he said there was a 4 under, and he thought the next car was going to be a 10.
Yep, so he was just calling
the
shot.
So he stayed on a 5 because he didn't want to take what he perceived to be the dealer's bus card.
Yes.
Even though the dealer was showing a 10.
Yes, in his mind. This is what he did in his mind. Yeah, never seen that before.
What was your play? What did you do?
I had a 13.
No, I don't mean – I mean after the fact that y'all all lost that hand.
Played like 2 more hands with him.
I would have left that immediately.
I know. I probably should have done that too. But
that's crazy.
Yeah, I've never seen that before. That was, and he made a bunch of wild calls.
Was he hammered?
Yeah, very.
He stayed.
Very.
And he kept telling. He kept telling Joe. Well, I was going to leave, and then so Joe stuck around, and he just never.
Yeah,
left.
He kept saying like I'm going to leave.
Oh,
he kept
so he's deking you too.
He kept saying like because he'd be like if I lose this one, I'm going to leave, and he would tell his girlfriend, and she'd be like, okay, like it's time to leave. He'd be like, oh, let me do one more. And he walked up with like $200 left with 0.
Jeez. Did you come out ahead?
Huh?
Did you come out ahead? Yeah, you played nothing but blackjack?
I played a little roulette as well.
Okay, what do you play on the roulette table?
I'm lame.
I got kicked off of out of a casino once playing roulette.
I just play red or black.
Yeah.
Why'd you get kicked off?
Yeah. I was doing progressive bets, and they frown on that if you're winning. If you're losing progressive bets, they don't care.
Yeah.
But if you're winning progressive bets, they don't take too kindly.
No.
They were nice about it. Hey, do you mind not doing that, and can you please leave? You got it. And they didn't take my money, so I was cool with it. Did you play anything, Brian?
Yeah, I play Ultimate Texas Hold'em. Lost a little on that, but still up one for the weekend because betting college football was pretty nice.
Yeah,
plus
good weekend.
I was 7-0 on those.
Johnny Manziel gets my junkie
sure.
of the day. I'm pretty sure he was just hung over from the Jake Paul Anthony Joshua fight.
Yeah.
Like he took to Instagram saying that, oh, you know, I was sick. I'm not feeling well. You guys will understand later. Why not just say what happened there?
Especially because like, he probably was getting on a PJ.
You would think.
Like,
I don't think he missed a flight.
Yeah.
Because he probably was on a PJ.
Yeah. They wait for you.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he just, well, hungover, Johnny.
Poor Alex Caruso. Alex Caruso's the B team. Hey, Alex, we're going to need you.
I got sort of like, we're like, they're just like walking around. Like, they like call like the Aggie, like AD.
Who's the most popular person here?
Like, who's going to be here?
Probably. And then, actually, I'm not going to mention DK Metcalf. He might not be the junkie of the day. I need to know more.
Sounds like
know,
there's some history.
Yeah, sounds like there's history. I need to know what was said. So I was thinking about DK Metcalf here, but I'm not going to do it.
He's still going to get in trouble.
Yeah, he's going to get fined, but I don't think he's going to get suspended. Yeah. And also, if he got called some of the things that DK is claiming that he did,
yeah.
I support DK Metcalf. So probably, he's not a junkie of the day.
Probably could have done more.
Oh, yeah.
Honestly.
Could have been a DK KO
yes.
to that guy. Brian?
Ted Cruz was at Kyle Field. That's one nomination. The Aggies had three times the amount of fans kicked out of their game than they scored points on the field. And then the offensive lineman, I don't know if you saw this before the game, just said they weren't worried about Reuben Bain. Well, Reuben Bain, four tackles for loss, three sacks, and a block kick.
How did
then that offensive lineman didn't talk to the media after the game.
How did Texas do in the playoff?
They beat the Aggies.
How did they do in the playoff?
They won two games last year.
How did they do in the
playoffs? They have
this
more
year?
Playoff wins in 2025 than the Aggies.
How did they do in the playoffs this year?
More wins in 2025 than the Aggies.
That's not this year.
It's 2025 calendar year.
Oh.
the win over Arizona State was in January.
Like, that's a good pull.
They have more playoff wins in 2025 than the Aggies.
They shouldn't have won that game. I'm still bitter about that game.
4th and 12, baby. Matthew Golden.
Arizona State should have won that game.
Eh, woulda, coulda, shoulda.
Matthew Golden.
Saw 4th and 12.
Wasn't there a controversial play ahead of 4th and 12?
I'm sure you think that, yeah.
No, I'm asking.
No, I don't remember. Honestly, don't remember.
I think there was a controversial play ahead of the 4th and 12. I think so. Who's winning junkie of the day? Oh, Keith from LA wants to mention Puka and his brother. I think his brother's name's Samson.
Yeah, they're not intelligent. They won Friday.
They won it Friday, yeah.
Did you hear what Puka said about concussions?
No.
He says he doesn't believe in them. He says it's like a mindset. He doesn't believe in concussions.
It's because he doesn't have a brain, man.
That was so funny.
He's a dum-dum.
He's got rocks wet.
Why did he go on that stream? That was a bad idea.
He's stupid.
he opened his mouth.
He tweeted about the referees right after the game, too.
Yeah. He's not intelligent, man.
No.
Yeah, they need to keep the mic away from that guy.
I kind of want to give it to Johnny.
Johnny Manziel, for sure.
Yeah.
It's the only thing he's winning these days. All right, Johnny Manziel, our last junkie of the day. We're off the rest of the week. We'll be back Monday, Tuesday. You working with me Monday and Tuesday?
Yeah, Monday and Tuesday.
Right, we'll yeah, I'm here Monday and Tuesday. Tuesday.
I didn't ask you, Brian. That's going to do it for us. Thanks to Nick Place for having us out here. Thanks to everybody coming out tonight. Have a Merry Christmas. Happy Holidays, everybody. We'll talk to you all next week. Goodbye, Houston.